Hey guys, it's DJ Jesse Janity, and I want to tell you guys a little bit about TrueCar. TrueCar is changing car buying forever. TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Just in the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features may not be available in all states, but to see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
You're tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Johnson. AfterBuzz
TV. AfterBuzz TV. The destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, After Buzzers, and welcome to another week of Showtime's original series, Homeland, Season 4, Episode 9, episode entitled, There's Something Else Going On, and we saw there was something else going on after this exchange with Saul and these five prisoners. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey, and joining me today is...
Hey guys, I'm Lexi Hamasfar.
And hello everybody, it's Nando Velasquez.
So, getting right into this episode, do we want to start off with Saul? Do we want to start off with Boyd? It seems like Dennis Boyd was like a central figure for this episode, based on...
Well, first of all, let's just our reaction to seeing this is awesome. I think we should even just, like, let's not pass over, like, if you and I didn't say this last week, I think Homeland is officially back with these two episodes.
These last two episodes have actually stepped their game up to help us get back into the feeling and help us get excited again about the series based on...
I mean, cliffhangers both weeks, big cliffhanger this week. Yeah. We don't even know what's going to happen, and we got to wait 2 weeks for the next episode.
Exactly.
So I think that's spectacular.
It is spectacular. This episode and what we saw with this whole exchange being the climax of everything, you really... didn't even know what was going to happen. You're like, okay, well, as soon as Carrie walked out, for everybody, of course, if you saw it, Carrie walked out to meet Saul.
Why are you watching this? Spoilers. Right. A lot of spoilers if you didn't watch the show.
So, for Carrie to go out and actually meet Saul, then you actually had a night, okay. Saul's not going to, they're not going to get blown up, obviously, because Carrie's there. There's no more show.
Right.
But there's a period of time there where I think everybody was kind of like nail biting. Is Saul gonna...
But we don't know. But that's the thing. We don't know who lives and who dies right now. I mean, look, we're assuming that obviously Claire Danes is not going anywhere.
Of course.
After last week and this week, I'm not so sure about Mandy. But
not so sure about Saul at all.
Yeah. But and then, you know, you have a prediction that we'll go into later. I just wanted to bring up overall, like, You, Thaddeus, we're watching the show, and Thaddeus is literally putting his hand under Lexi's chin to close her mouth.
Right, because she's like, no.
So, yeah, I just want to acknowledge
that. It was so good.
Yeah, it was good.
We don't have to go into the ending yet. I just wanted to acknowledge that, because I think that's, like, the big thing. But anyway, yeah, I think we should talk about Dennis.
Let's talk about Dennis, because I liked how they went about attempting to... Mm-hmm. You know, draw information from him. They used Redmond at first. They knew that he was the mole or whatever. So, well, he's not the mole. He's the mole. he's not the mole. He's the mole. So,
well, I think the two things we need to realize. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I thought Dennis was a pushover until this episode. Like,
he's still a putz. He doesn't know. This guy is so dumb. He doesn't know when to do what.
Yeah.
That's why his ass has got put in a jail cell. Dude, you're in a jail cell. You got put in there by your wife.
I know.
But, officially.
But it's like,
as her part of her job. So now, something, you're not doing something right.
Yeah. Well, it's like she said, now's a great time for him to develop a backbone finally. You know, it's like Tasmin scares him and he does anything she says. You know, obviously he was doing stuff before.
Right.
And now you just figured that now that Carrie knows this, you know, you and I were predicting like, oh, what's going to happen to him? And he just clams up for almost the whole episode.
Well, if he was smart, this guy would have come clean when Sandy got killed. When Sandy got killed, that was a perfect opportunity for him to come clean and say, look, this is what's been going on. And then Sandy wouldn't have been able to say otherwise, obviously, because Sandy was dead. Mm-hmm. And he hadn't had contact with Tasneem yet.
Yeah.
So that was a perfect opportunity for him to say, this is what was going on. Sandy had me extracting information. I was doing this and that and blah, blah, blah.
That still would have implicated him, though. And that would have been... He was admitting to treason, basically.
Well, think about where he is right now.
Well, yeah.
He's dug himself into a deeper hole.
But that's how stupid he is. He thinks he can get away with it still. I feel like he just thinks about himself and he thinks they don't have enough evidence for me, so I'm going to keep quiet. Meanwhile, he's making it worse for himself, obviously.
Well, and he's not a good liar.
He's a horrible liar. Yeah. It's like, dude, when somebody's married to you for a number of years, you can't lie to them. That's just off top. Mm. That has nothing to do with being CIA or being some kind of government operative. You're married to somebody for decades. You can tell when they're full of shit.
Especially when everyone is accusing you of the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And they're coming to you saying what you've done to get yourself in this position. I mean, at what point do you just...
No, I love it.
At what point do you just throw it in the bag and be like, you know what, you're right.
I'm just thinking like, I mean, also the way the writers really worked this for us to look at it as an audience, I thought was really cool. Because that first scene with Redmond, it was just like this little, let's have a friendly chat. Very discreet in the office. And for a second when I was watching this, I'm like, we weren't sure to trust Redmond until this episode. I think this episode makes him solidly behind Carrie or the U.S. government or not. You know, he's not the drunk that we thought he was that just wanted the position.
Right, right.
But at that scene, I'm like, is he acting alone? And then you see him report to Carrie. And then later on, they had that whole thing with Martha was an act too.
Right.
Yeah.
So just the way the writers did that to make us think like, what's going on? Oh no, Dennis is being saved by Martha. It's like, nope, it's just part of the plan to try and get him to... freaking fess up and he still won't.
Well, he just thinks that his britches are bigger than what they really are.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Carrie's going to come and confront him and question him, and he's not going to say anything.
He's entitled. She curses
him.
He acts like he's so entitled.
That's so crazy.
I know.
Well, because I think in his mind, he's probably thinking, oh, you know, I have the protection of my wife.
Yeah.
She's the ambassador. Right. So he probably thought that he was not invincible, but almost.
Well, he just obviously thinks he's above Carrie.
But it's really funny too.
That he's
like,
protected.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also funny, like every time like she says something and curses at him and he wants to walk out or he starts being like, screw you, he starts cursing at her and then Carrie leaves. He's like, wait, where he gets scared all of a sudden for a second, like, where are you going? Don't leave me here.
Right. Like, what do you
it's
think?
Such She's a little,
like, I'll be back.
Great acting by Mark Moses though, but just such a just see him twisting this whole episode but standing his ground till the very end. I thought it was really, 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 oh man, it was just driving me up the wall. It's like, just, you know, you just want to scream at them. Like, just fess up already. Mm-hmm. Save everybody so much trouble if they just find out what it is you know.
It's getting to the point where him admitting anything is not going to mean anything. Mm-hmm. It's like he had an opportunity to bring value to the table and redeem himself somewhat.
Yeah.
And that's actually, as we see by the end of this episode, all going out the window because he's not going to have the culmination of their whole plan is actually coming together.
Well, who knows what Carrie could have used against Tasneem if she knew Tasneem was his contact, during the exchange.
Right.
That's true.
He could have become an asset
and
kind of been able to leverage himself.
Yeah.
Do we know whether or not Tasneem actually has any connection to... Well, I mean, actually, at the end of this episode, we show that she's actually really, she's connected to Haqqani and the whole...
Well, I mean...
Because we weren't sure. We kind of suspected it, but now we see.
Well, she's that division of the ISI that you were talking about a couple of weeks ago, right?
She's on the side that supports the Taliban. I think that it was the biggest giveaway that her and Khan are on opposite sides was when Khan and Carrie were on the phone call in the hangar.
Yeah.
And he talked about how he was completely shut out of... The planning of the operation.
Yeah.
Because why would he be shut out other than for the fact...
See, I'm going to play devil's advocate, and I got some heat on this on the YouTube comments last week because I was playing devil's advocate as to what side he's on.
Right.
But, I mean, I think Lockhart, when Lockhart was talking to Carrie about him as well, and, you know, Carrie's like, he risked his life to give me Dennis Boyd's info. Yeah, but he didn't give his own people up, you know? He didn't give the other side. He only gave enough to kind of like...
Just enough.
Just enough.
Yeah.
And, I mean... I kind of believe, do I really believe he's on Tasneem's side? No, I don't think he is. But at the same time, I thought it was really weird during the whole exchange. It's the Prime Minister, Tasneem, and him. Like right in the middle. Like they're all side by side. And it just seems like the Prime Minister...
Well, theoretically, right now,
yeah,
everybody has to pretty much represent where they're from within this situation. This is the kind of situation where it's like, okay.
Yeah.
The CIA and the Americans over here, then everybody who's a part of the ISI government is over here, and everybody else is on their side, on the opposite side. So everybody has to be somewhat consolidated.
Well, that's why Lockhart's like that. Yeah, that's why I think Lockhart feels that way about all of them.
Right.
But my whole thing is like, yeah, we don't know what side. I mean, look, we know there's two divisions, but they're not like wearing red shirts and blue shirts. You know, we can't tell who's who. We just know Tasneem is definitely working with the Taliban.
But I think even on their own side in that situation, they don't know who's playing for what team.
I don't think
it's like, oh, hey, you work with the Taliban, right? I think it's everyone's kind of
they're just doing their own job and they don't know exactly who to trust on that side too.
And see, that's why Khan wouldn't give up his own people, even though he was giving Carrie just enough to see what's going on, because it's like, imagine being in a situation, you're not getting anything from your people, you're getting more information probably from the opposite side than you are from your people, and there's something fishy going on.
Yeah.
So it seems like, it's like, let me step back a little bit and really see what's going on without giving them too much to the CIA and without giving up any of my people.
But I think
just so I can try to figure out what's what, but I think he's kind of figured it out by now.
I think that's interesting, though, that you work for an organization, you don't even know exactly who to trust. Like, maybe you know your direct superior or the person directly underneath you, you kind of sort of can trust. But other than that,
I think that's what's so shady about the ISI, though, in real life.
I mean, that's spy games, though, because this happens in the CIA as well. They got people that...
I guess.
That people can't trust each other. Yeah. I mean, that happens as well. Right?
I don't think on such a grand scale as like two departments within one organization.
Or two agendas.
Two agendas. I don't think it's as clear. I mean, look, we live in a bipartisan country, but I don't think it's like that severe. Like the ISI.
Yeah, but Democrats and the Republicans don't want to kill each other.
Yeah, I don't think they want to kill each other. Yeah, I mean, their interests are like that severe.
I don't know. Some people might disagree with you on that.
Election
get destroyed in the comments.
That's true. We're going to get destroyed in the comments for that, I'm sure. But anyway.
But in the CIA, I think there's oftentimes polarizing agendas that are like...
It could be. I'm not sure. But anyway.
At least they've displayed that in the media.
Yeah. But again, I mean,
agendas that were like opposite agendas.
Tasneem is just playing such a great villain in a way. Like even seeing her like acting in the exchange and everything. Like when she saw the phone call and she started putting two to, you even said, yeah.
I love that. It was, she just shot daggers through Carrie.
Yeah.
Like, I know what you're on to.
Right. And Carrie did a horrible job of acting like she was still on the phone with somebody else and it wasn't Khan. Like, Carrie, come on. Like, you're a CIA agent. You gotta be better than that. Like, she picked it up real quick. She's like, yeah. Okay. We'll do.
Yeah.
Like, no. She's... But, you know, she's an agent, too, so...
Yeah.
It's just spy games. You're just playing that game.
But Carrie's busy doing this exchange, and I think the other thing that we need to comment on her side, at least, is that, you know, she's warned Lockhart that there's got to be something else going on, therefore the name of the title of this episode. And Lockhart doesn't seem to be on board with her, at least, or can't... I guess he doesn't feel like the evidence is strong enough.
Yeah, even they just don't have enough intel to figure out, and you know, Carrie just, I think, more has a hunch, more than anything.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the thing is that Carrie even says, like, you know, Haqqani faked his own death way before they ever captured Saul.
Right.
So this is just a bonus, like she said. And, you know, so there's obviously, this is not the end game, but maybe perhaps they're using this to their advantage to distract them to, as we see, I think it was kind of a distraction to the government, a bit. Because Haqqani was never at the site, you know, for the exchange, as I guess we figured he wouldn't be. But, you know, while they were playing this whole thing off, they ended up using it to their advantage for their endgame. For what we see as their endgame right now, at least.
The endgame. What is the endgame? Well, you want to talk about Saul a little bit. Yeah. Saul was in Saul's in captivity. And
yes, he is.
Yeah, they they got him on camera. What was the whole point of them bringing him and putting him on camera with the videotape. I didn't catch that.
I think it was, first of all, it was Haqqani just doing that little like propaganda video, I think, to his troops.
Okay.
But I think it also set the scene. That's when we first saw that kid, that child.
Right.
You know, he had like a front row seat to this speech.
Right.
And this is where we first saw Saul and him connect. And then we also saw the fact that he seemed to be his like eyes watching over Saul.
Right.
Overnight,
because he served Saul. Room. He gave him some. He served him tea.
Yeah,
right.
Very good tea.
Yeah. And Saul said whatever he said
during his nightmare.
The kid was like, yeah, he was having a bad dream, and Saul tried to soothe him by speaking. Like, did we know that Saul spoke Urdu already?
I think as director of CIA, I feel like, and a former field agent, I think
you have to.
We have to assume he knows something.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they didn't show that before, though, did they?
No, they haven't really shown him speaking Urdu, I think. And I can't remember. Someone might call me on it, but I can't remember him speaking Urdu
Saul's
this season.
G. I love Saul. I can't be honest with you. If they would have killed Saul, I probably would be like, oh, no, I'm not watching this anymore.
It's not over yet.
Yeah.
It's not over yet.
Because he's such a pivotal character.
They got rid of Saul. I'm not done.
It's not over yet. I don't want to wish anything.
You don't wish anything?
It's not over yet. Of course, I want Saul to stay.
Right.
I told you last week. I think I'd rather have Saul stay at this point than Carrie. And nothing against Carrie. I just love Saul's character.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Saul's character as well. Mandy's just killing that role.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do we know if there's any significance? Because the lady came in right before they were taking them to for the exchange.
Yeah.
He was like, was it like blessed or was she just trying to clean him to make him look like he wasn't so? Because they did stipulate that he can't be beat up or injured or nothing whatsoever. So was it just to try to clean him up so he didn't look so beat up? Because
he
looked beat up.
He still looked beat up after. I just,
or
I
was
felt
it some kind of, was it a ritual?
Felt like it might have been. I mean, I'm sure somebody there in our audience might know a little bit more about this, but I felt it was kind of symbolic or a bit of a ritual having this woman come in and kindly tend to, you know, his obvious wounds.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like preparing him. I mean, again, it's this episode, just like last week in a way, you know, it was almost like the kiss of death, like the Godfather kiss before they execute him. Then they put him in front of that flag for that propaganda video. But I think as Americans, I mean, we grew up with the news seeing, that image with a beheading. You know, because they I think the Taliban did that before. You know, they actually would I can't remember who.
Yeah.
I can't remember who specifically.
Well, ISIS has done the beheading.
And yes. ISIS has done that recently. But I mean, even before, there was something I can remember, and forgive me, I don't remember this, but I do remember a beheading that happens in front of a flag, in front of an Islamic flag.
Right.
Not that one.
Right.
But in front of a flag. Back like in the early 2000s.
Maybe it was something that was ritualistic as well, because say, for example, things didn't go right, the whole exchange went awry, and he ended up dying as a result.
But it is interesting to see,
like, say that all went down.
Yeah, but it is interesting to see all the kindness that gets used. I mean, the kid with the tea,
right.
You know, the woman, you know, washing his wounds away a little bit, you know. There are moments where they're very, very kind. And then there are moments where they just pick him up and put a hood on him and drag him someplace.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very much like up and down, yeah.
I don't...
Extremes.
I just kind of think that they were just cleaning him up, just to clean him up. I mean, I get what you were saying about tending to his wounds, but it was just water. She wasn't, you know, it's not like she was using hydrogen peroxide or something to sterilize his wounds. She was just wiping the dirt off of his face so that it looked a little bit cleaner. I mean, I could be totally wrong on this, but that's kind of the impression that I got from it. And, and I even Googled during the show that, you know, what washing of the face could mean in Pakistan, and I don't think there was really any connection
we're probably analyzing, forgive us, but we're probably analyzing too much on that one thing, but I'm just curious. If anyone knows, just comment on YouTube. We'd love to see it. Yeah.
So they throw him in the van and they're headed to the exchange. The little boy is with him. And did you guys have any clue? I wonder if anybody had any clue what this little boy was for the whole time until they strapped his vest on him.
I didn't. Not until they
strapped a bomb on him. You're like, wow. What is going on? So... Yeah. I don't know what everybody else was thinking. I'm thinking, like, is this some plan to everybody to die?
Yeah, that's what I thought at first.
I was kind of thinking that.
And I thought that's also why Saul was fighting to stay in the van, because I felt like Saul was trying to save everybody by staying in the van as long as possible or whatever it was he was trying to do. So... But, you know, of course, he was upset as well, because this boy showed kindness to this boy, and this boy showed kindness back.
Yeah.
And then this boy ends up being possibly his executioner, ends up killing himself.
Right.
to kill Saul. And yet the reasoning was that because when Saul was director of CIA last year, a drone attack killed his dad and his brother.
Right.
I mean, it's sad all over.
I want to know what everybody else thinks, the listeners out there who are following Homeland. And let us know what you guys think. Do you guys think, and I want to know what you guys think, obviously. Do you guys think that they, of course, well, they went through all this trouble to do the exchange. But do you think they should have sacrificed Saul?
The U.S.?
Yeah. For the grand scheme of the whole, you know, he's not the director of the CIA anymore.
I think,
and they're giving up five leaders.
Yeah.
I think it was more selfish of Carrie last week when she made that decision to lead him into that pack of the Taliban.
So you think it goes back to, you think she should have let him shoot himself in the head?
I think that was a humane thing to do. And it would have saved them getting five of their top guys back.
Because
he wanted
scheme,
to die. He was ready to die. Right. I know that's so brutal to say, but
because theoretically he's been in the CIA longer than Kerry's been alive, right? He's been CIA for a long time.
I don't know about that.
He's been an agent
he's
for
been
a long
an
time
agent for a while. I don't
since
know
since she was a kid. So, so obviously he's been fighting a battle for a long, long time, and for him, his perspective on it is probably a lot different than hers.
Well, this is probably the one glaring problem. And I struggle to call it a problem, but the one glaring issue I've had with the show the past couple of weeks, mm-hmm. the decision to keep Saul alive, you know, from 2 weeks ago when Carrie made the call to bomb him with Hakani there and Quinn overstepped his bounds, and just seeing everybody seems to want Saul. I mean, there was even a moment in this week's episode where Quinn is saying, are we doing the right thing? And Carrie says the right thing is to keep Saul alive.
I think it all boils down to Carrie not wanting another person who is close to her mm-hmm. be killed and fall back on her. Because
but 2 weeks ago, she didn't have that problem. Or was it 2 weeks ago? It was a couple of weeks ago.
Three weeks ago?
Well, I think...
You're talking about when she was with Hakani and she said pull the trigger?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. So, I just feel like this particular scenario boils down to like she didn't want Saul to die on behalf of her, and the fact that she wouldn't let him die last week.
Well, they said the initial, you know, response is usually the right one, the instinct you go with. And then what's funny is when Mira called her, she says, you know what,
I know you might, he's expendable, and you work at the CIA.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you've become, you know,
good.
You become really good. You become a professional.
Yeah.
So she knows what that means.
Yeah.
So obviously to be a professional means that you would sacrifice all mm-hmm. and not give up those five leaders, because how many lives are going to be lost to actually go and hunt these guys down now?
Well, I mean, we can't
even
overlook.
Saul knows that.
We can't overlook that. Carrie's been struggling with this for a while, and I do think that, you know, that hallucination she had when she saw Brody, I think that had a lot to do with, you know, the way she's treating this situation now.
Right.
But it's obviously a struggle, and I think I don't know if there's a right answer or not. I think, you know, we see this and we're like, it's probably better to just kill Saul and his secrets go away and you keep the prisoners, but, you know, obviously they're showing us a side of Carrie. I mean, even in that conversation with Mira, Mira says, I love my husband and I know you love him too. And Carrie says, yes, I do. And that's like, and it's weird because in previous seasons, we've joked about this relationship between Carrie and Saul, that it's more than the mentor protege type thing, that there's something else there, that Mira is the only person that like when Saul's with Carrie, she's like, oh yeah, you guys go ahead.
Right.
That there is something more there.
Yeah.
And I feel like that showed last week when Carrie saved him and didn't let him kill. It's really conflicting.
Yeah.
And this is Carrie all over. This is almost like Brody. You know, she lets her personal feelings get in the way.
How do you think Saul was feeling? It's a very overwhelming feeling. He was ready to die. He just broke down. You know, he just broke down. He was, you know, she for her to be able to get him to get up. Mm. And do you feel like it was an I'm alive, I'm gonna live type of thing, or do you feel like it was more of a I did not want to lose this battle? He might have lost that battle.
I'm confused. You're talking about the scene when he sits down.
When
and
he sits
she
down, and she
the
finally gets
exchange.
Him. Yeah, yeah, he finally lets go, and he finally is gonna. Mm. He gives up taking that stance, and he decides to get up and go with her.
I think it's surrender. I think it's just complete surrender on his part. Mm-hmm. I think Carrie somehow speaks to him and gets him, and she's like, I just want to go home. And I think, you know, when he realizes that he is talking just like them, like Carrie said about the boy, like, let the boy die. He already said his prayers, you know? Cause he, of course he wants to kill himself, but now the boy's involved too. And I think it's just, I don't know. I'm getting really heady here. Maybe, it's like very into their mortality. It's just like, I just want to go home. It's just as simple as a base, like, just let it go.
Right.
And I think he realized that maybe, yeah, there were five, you know, top Taliban people on the line with getting exchanged, but also everyone involved in that scenario and that exchange, all of their lives were on the line with that suicide vest.
Hmm. True.
So it might have been like a, what's the lesser of two evil? Not, well, I don't know. I just think it, in that circumstance, it might have been like, would I rather, you know, have everyone live when have five be exchanged, or would I rather everyone die?
Yeah, it was a hairy.
I mean, I love the situation. Scene. It was a very intimate scene.
It was a good scene.
And I think it was a scene that needed to happen, because especially after what happened last week with Saul cursing Carrie out, it was kind of like they needed to clear of each other that little moment by themselves. They needed a little closure before she had to pick him up and bring him back over.
Right.
Yeah.
Before their convoy was attacked.
Oh, before all of that, yeah. But
so
that's such a tense. That whole exchange was just so amazing and tense. And again, it was just so well played. One thing I want to bring up, even before we talk about the caravan, because I noticed this. I saw the episode twice today.
Okay.
I had the benefit of seeing it twice.
Yes.
When they first arrive at the exchange, Tasneem's asking about Lockhart. And she's like, why didn't Lockhart come with you guys? I guess she was expecting Lockhart. And when Carrie said, you know, Berenson got stolen from a place just like this that was, that the ISI had control over, Tasneem says, oh, so you bring your own private army instead. And I think that all plays into the ending too, because I think their plans were hoping that Lockhart would be in the caravan.
Wipe out everyone.
Yeah, that Lockhart would be in the caravan as well.
Right.
So, I want to definitely bring that to light too, because I think that was an important little bit that we, of course, had no idea what that conversation was about. It just sounded like two people just kind of like who don't like each other, just having little tit for tat.
Yeah.
But really, Tasneem was just still even then getting information like, where's Lockhart?
Right.
Why are you bringing your army? You know, like kind of like egging her on and just surveying exactly what, you know, what assets are out in the field right now and
just get an assessment of what they're up against.
Because Carrie didn't even trust that moment when she called Asar. She's like, I don't feel good.
Right.
Yeah.
So one thing that was a little confusing was the shots that they got of the convoy attack.
Yeah.
Because they never got a shot of Carrie and Saul in the vehicle after the two vehicles were attacked. They never got a shot of them.
Well, what I noticed was the first one got hit, right? You saw the shot
in front of them.
Front of them.
Right.
And they crashed into that one, and we saw the fire that happened from the first one spread to the second one.
Right.
But it never got bombed. There was only two RPG hits, and it was the first car in the caravan and the third one.
Correct.
So that's the only
thing. But then when they did a wide shot, you can see like three vehicles were destroyed, burned up. So you're like, wait a minute.
Well, the second one from the car crash, but yeah, it looked a little
much. It looked like no one would have been
living
those things. No. So I don't know how they shot that, but it just looked like
it's great for dramatics.
Nobody, yeah, it is great for dramatics, but it didn't look like anybody would be able to live based on that. But Lockhart did deploy the Marines to go and assist with the situation, since it was like only a few blocks away. It was four blocks from the embassy or where they were located. So he went and sent over some assistance, but that was actually part of the plan. And then Boyd, dumbass, is like, oh, wait, the Marines are not, so nobody's here.
Well, first of all,
oh, wait, okay.
That's
what this is about.
Yeah. So was that like a feasible thing for Lockhart to do? Was he overstepping his bounds sending them? I mean, I feel like at the time it seemed like it was exactly what he needed to do, because they're only four blocks from the embassy and they're spreading
natural.
The Marines out, right?
Yeah. So what we have to see now, I guess they're going to show this next episode, is Martha making her way somewhere to notify Lockhart or get a hold of somebody in charge to tell her, like, look, or to tell them, look, we're breached. There's been an intel breach, and they know about the tunnel, so they're going to have to get down to that tunnel.
Well, yeah, so Martha and Dennis are at the guardhouse, I guess, which it looked like She said send him to the guardhouse. So I don't think that's on embassy grounds, because at least the shot that we saw with Boyd trying to leave town with the passport.
That was a house.
That was a house.
Right.
So I'm wondering if she has like a guardhouse on that facility, but I have a feeling that's not attached to the embassy.
I don't think there's a jail on her house.
Well, no, not a jail.
But there was like jail bars and stuff.
But it's like, it's probably a mansion because it's the ambassador. So it probably has a guardhouse, like it has a security area.
A holding area, maybe?
A holding area.
That looked like a straight jail.
So, I think it did. But
I think that was probably at the embassy.
But it's just curious because it seems like, I couldn't tell, well, maybe Martha's at the embassy then. I guess she is.
Because remember, everyone was running and she taught, and who was the one who told her?
The sergeant? It was one of the...
Yeah, so the I just don't think that could have been at her house. That doesn't...
No, not at her house, but like... I don't know.
Another
I'm just thinking
just not
facility.
At the embassy. Just at another facility. Yeah,
but
I guess
if the Marines are mobilizing even there, then probably at the embassy.
Right.
I guess that's a safe bet. I mean...
It's vulnerable.
Either way,
so there's no protection at the embassy.
Martha's out of position, either way. So she can't like automatically just call Lockhart and send everyone back in. It seems like she's really completely, you know... you know what I mean?
Right.
So,
do you think that the goal is to attain and acquire to take Martha captive or to take Lockhart captive?
I was gonna say to, well, I guess it doesn't mean. I don't think it would be to take Lockhart captive because they were trying to kill him.
I think it's Lockhart. Okay.
I think it's Lockhart.
Okay, so I don't know. I don't know exactly what they want there, but I think they wanted Lockhart in the caravan so they could kill him there, but.
But if they would have killed him there,
then they
what was the point of them needing to use the
Martha? Maybe getting computer files. I don't know what.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know why he's going in there, but this was the plan from this. It's like Carrie said, Haqqani faked his death way before Saul got taken. And Lockhart came.
So he has a grand scheme.
Lockhart came because of Saul.
Here's what I don't get though. Why would you send, this just is the most unrealistic thing to me. Mm-hmm. Why would you send every single Marine in the embassy off the base to go deal with this car crash? Why would you not leave some form of protection on an American embassy in a
That's why I wonder if Lockhart, that's why I was wondering if Lockhart overreacted.
But he didn't say deploy all the Marines. He just said deploy the Marines. Yeah. So they may, I'm sure there's a protocol where they're still vulnerable.
Yeah.
They're probably going to be undermanned. I'm sure they're not going to have all the Marines go. I'm sure it'll just be like a good portion of them, mm-hmm. but they're still just going to be underprotected at the embassy. There might be still some Marines there. I don't think they sent every single Marine.
I'm sure they probably have a few, but like you said, it's probably incredibly undermanned. I'm sure they don't have it completely unprotected.
No, yeah.
But it's probably enough for a small army
to
go under,
and take over.
You would just think that if in reality they were put in this type of situation, they would have some plan in place where the embassy could still be adequately protected and they could go deal with something in the streets at
probably
the same
if
time.
Somebody normal was in charge, it probably would be okay, but it's Lockhart, so who knows.
But it's not Lockhart over there, it's Martha.
But no, but Lockhart's the one that's dealing with the issue at this moment because Martha was talking with Dennis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote last week they thought that I was condescending about Martha, about the ambassador, and I gotta give kudos to Martha this week for actually.
So you're not agreeing whether or not you were condescending or not to Martha, but this week you're not.
This week I think that Martha did a great job as far as working with Lockhart and Carrie to try to set Dennis up to get this information.
Oh yeah, I thought that was great. I thought that was a great scene with her coming in and that whole act with Carrie and
you're
everything.
Done everywhere. You
know? I love that. But here's the funny thing about her too, and you know, I think it's Layla Roberts is the actress heads up to her. She obviously still has feelings for Saul because notice even when she's talking to Dennis, she's like, they're bringing Saul home. It's like that little, like that voice. Like, And obviously, you know, I was predicting this a couple of weeks ago. I was teasing like something's going to happen with those two. They were old lovers and they were engaged for like a moment.
Right.
But obviously with this whole thing with Dennis, I mean,
she can
really
dump Dennis, get rid of Dennis.
Dennis is gone.
Dennis, he's a plagiarist.
Yeah.
He's a plagiarist back in the States. Yeah. Now he's a spy. Uh-huh. Oh, this dude has a horrible track record.
Dennis is treason.
Oh my gosh. Treason. Plagiarism. Like what? This dude, and he's such a wet willy on top of that. Like, dude, like, she can't wait to get rid of this guy. Get Saul back. And then, I don't know. Love triangle between her.
And Mira, because we saw Mira this week, too. And Mira's like, I love you. And oh, God forbid, Mira's on the phone with him. And she hears him go, hello. And then, explosions all over the place.
Right.
Like, who knows what she's thinking, too.
Right.
But, you know, and I will say this, the ending with Hakani going under, it just, it reminded me, it was very 24.
I love that scene.
Yeah,
because it's kind of like very like, let's get into CTU. All of a sudden he attacks at CTU.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that a little bit. So I really dug that, but that was a real like, holy crap moment.
I agree.
Yeah.
I love that scene. I said that when we were watching, that it was such an intense scene where you just see Hakani and the lights are flickering in the tunnel underneath and they're just walking in, breaking into the embassy.
Yeah. It ended on a high note. Okay, did we cover everything for this episode for the most part?
I think we did. Did you want to talk about? Did we talk about Carrie confronting Boyd about being poisoned?
Oh,
did you want to talk about that? Because I remember we brought that before.
Okay,
I mean it's just a minor thing.
That was all part of the confrontation when she had
jumping back. Yeah. But I know Lexi looked up some stuff on.
Yeah, go ahead, Lexi.
Well, the medicine that she was given, I can't pronounce it, I'm sure, is
phenethylamine.
And she was given 25 I was the dosage, which they said in the show was twice as potent as LSD. But I read on Wikipedia, it says that abnormally high concentrations have been discovered to have a strong positive correlation with the incidence of schizophrenia, which totally makes sense with the reaction that she had in the streets.
Yeah.
So that's all I really had on that.
This dude is so busted. He's a horrible actor.
Not Mark Moses.
Not Mark Moses. Dennis Boyd's a horrible actor.
But
we're trying to act like he's not lying.
But that's what makes. But that's
actually what makes Mark Moses a really good actor.
Yes, that's what makes Mark Moses a really good actor. Yes. He's playing somebody who's a bad actor. Right. The way he's playing him.
Yes. Yeah. He's doing a good job.
I think it's really awesome the job that Mark Moses is doing.
Yeah. He's pulling it off.
Yes. Let's get that straight.
Dennis Boyd bad. Mark Moses is good. Okay, so are we going to go to news and gossip?
Do we have news and gossip?
I have something that's news and gossipy. News and gossipy.
TV news.
Has somewhat to do, it's indirectly deals with Homeland, but I got to go see a sneak peek of American Sniper starring Bradley Cooper and Sienna Miller. And I don't know if you guys remember Naveed Negabon, who played Abu Nazir from Homeland. Mm-hmm. He actually is in this movie.
Oh.
So he has a cool part, and... you guys should go check it out when it drops. It's not out yet, but it's actually a really good film. So it gets 2 thumbs up for me.
I think I have two things, actually, now that I think about it.
Go ahead.
The first one is, and forgive me because I did not get a chance to look at it yet, but I just want to let people know who aren't familiar that Mandy Patinkin was on 60 Minutes last Sunday.
Okay.
Before the episode that we saw.
Oh, I saw that.
Did you see it? I didn't get to see that episode.
It was where the guy went behind the scenes, right?
Yeah, on the set of Home.
Yeah, it was really cool. I forgot who the reporter was, but he basically went on set with Mandy and then... the reporter did a sit-down interview giving his – or, like, retelling what he witnessed on the show. And he was saying how everything is so detail-oriented, even down to the eyeball scanners.
Right.
They actually – it made it look like it worked on the show – on the interview.
Okay.
Because he said – he, like, looked in it and they filmed him doing it. And he looked in it and the door unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool. He was just saying how they've made sure that everything is so on point with the detail, and even the papers that are spread across desks go with the storyline. So
okay,
but I didn't have a chance to look at it, unfortunately. But you can look at it. I just did a quick Google search, and you can definitely see the segment online for those of you who aren't watching from the States. Hopefully, you can be able to access it on the internet. Pull it down from somewhere. And then the other bit of news that I don't have prepared for me, and I'm trying to open it up on my computer, but my computer is being incredibly slow, is, you know, last week's episode did really, really well, not just, you know, like as far as the critics and even the ratings were pretty good, but even on Twitter. I believe I'm trying to pull it up right now, and if I can get it right now, it'd be cool. Oh, it's not pulling up, darn it. You know what, I'll put it on the YouTube notes, but I believe it was the 5th most tweeted show last Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, it was the 5th most tweeted show. It was on the top 5 Nielsen, as far as, you know, hashtag Homeland was up there. So it was trending. So it was a really, really good episode. So I think, you know, for all those people who said, I'm not going to watch Homeland because Brody's not on it anymore, or it's, you know, it wasn't as good as the first season and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think they're starting to really, and, you know, if you saw the, which we all did, they didn't show clips for the next episode. They just showed like all these critics saying Homeland is back and action packed, that I think, yeah, it's definitely winning over critics and it's winning over audiences. So I really do. do expect it, the ratings to keep going up.
Okay.
So. Also, on a side note, Marina Baccarin, who played Jessica Brody from...
Who I love.
Yeah.
Every other
side
season.
Note, I love. We both love. Yes.
Yeah, she's amazing. She, I guess Deadline announced last month that she won a role on Fox's Gotham.
Oh, okay.
And so she's going to be in season 2 next year, starring opposite Jada Pinkett Smith.
I wonder if she's going to be a villainess.
A villainess?
I don't know.
Or not.
But there's an article on Daily Mail if anyone wants to check it out, because she was at the Hollywood Brazilian Film Festival.
Because she's Brazilian.
Last night.
She's Brazilian, I think, right?
Yes, she is. She
yeah.
is. She is Brazilian. Yes. Oh, boy, she is.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
So... Okay, so let's
actually, you know what? I got it. I think I got it here. Yes. Okay, so Homeland was number 5. If you look at the top 5 from last Sunday, it was The Walking Dead was the number 1. I mean, that's not going to beat anything on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Followed by a couple of reality shows. I'm not even going to bother and give them airtime. Once Upon a Time was 4th, and then Homeland was 5th, and it had a unique audience of 614,000 people tweeting and 1,327,000 impressions. It's still Damn. Way behind Walking Dead. Walking Dead just can't be beat, but it really held its own in the top 5. So
Sweet.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it.
That's a good look.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, so Showtime's original series Homeland season 4 episode 10 for next week. Predictions.
No, for 2 weeks.
2 weeks, sorry
it
guys.
Sucks.
2 weeks. Yes, it does suck.
I predict I'm going to be really pissed off next week because I want to see what happens.
well, we got time to let some things marinate, catch up, watch another couple episodes, and like pick up some nuances maybe that we didn't see before. All right, over Thanksgiving. Over turkey and stuffing.
You know, I don't want to take away what you said at the end of the episode when we were watching it, because
okay.
I don't want to take credit for it. So I want to first say I heard you say this first, but
it's
I agree. Good. I think Lockhart's a goner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think Lockhart's a goner in the next episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think that soon?
I think that soon.
I would give it, how many episodes do we have left?
We have 3 episodes left, I believe, this season.
I think it would happen probably the second to last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or the last episode.
Okay.
But Lockhart's a goner. They're going to come in. They're coming through the tunnel as we see this the end of this episode. They're going to swoop him up.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to hold him, but there's no way we're going to do a trade for this guy. There's nothing else to give.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what? Enough is enough. And he's going to end up dead. And then Saul is going to end up as the director of the CIA. Again.
Oh, and I have one more prediction. So we haven't seen Farrah in a couple of episodes.
Yeah,
so
what's
she's
up with
not,
that?
So she's not in the embassy. So I feel like she's still working in that remote office with Max. So I think that's going to be the new staging area where Carrie and Saul got to be alive, where they're going to be handling whatever's going on against the embassy.
I don't like that she's not involved. I mean, she was around, and all of a sudden
she wasn't needed at that time with the whole thing going on, you know. So, but now I'm sure with what's going on, now's a good time to bring her back.
Yeah,
so she'll be needed. Yeah,
we also need her to add some like tension for, you know, Carrie and Quinn. You know, Carrie, she needs to entice.
I think
Quinn
right now we're not thinking romance at this moment. I mean, it's great that
there's
romance. The Martha Saul thing, maybe, but we're not really thinking romance. There's a lot of ish going down right now.
Yo, after she molested Ayan, there's always things you're going to be thinking about Carrie. Like, you never know what's going to happen with Carrie. Just because of that situation, you're like, wow. But she's just doing her job.
Okay.
Okay, so.
What do you got, Lexi?
What do you got?
I mean, I agree. I think that Carrie and Saul are going to be alive because, really, what's the show without those two?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be interesting to see whether they keep Dennis alive or they kill him. Because I could also see Tasneem and Haqqani or whoever going in and extracting him. And holding him, not as ransom, but...
Well, definitely not a ransom, because he's not worth
anything. Because who cares, yeah. Right. But extracting him, maybe. So I think it'll be interesting to see what they do with him.
Do you think they'll extract him? What good would he be to them, though?
I think they'll kill him.
Yeah, I think they'll... Because the thing, if they extract... They can't... I mean,
he's a snipey little idiot
him,
who just doesn't...
He doesn't have access for the only thing he was good for. He has no real interests.
Yeah.
With either side, really. He's no good unless he can provide them with intel.
I think they're just going to cover their tracks and kill him. That's just what I think. Fair I mean, enough. if they extract him, they're going to extract him just to kill him. That's what I think. They could still extract him, but they're going. He's a goner. I said that last week. I think he's a goner. I still believe that.
Well, yeah, so, he's going to be a marked man on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's got no marriage.
Right.
He's a traitor. You know, it's either he gets put away for life or he gets killed. And I think.
And he's a plagiarist.
And he's a plagiarist
because that is his biggest.
That's his biggest crime.
He's a plagiarist.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So until next time, where can we find you guys?
You can find Danny Hoyt, who was not here this week, by the way.
Yes, Danny Hoyt.
And he's my compadre from 24. He would have loved this episode. You can find him at Danny Hoyt on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nando Vell, and here on AfterBuzz for Walking Dead and Scorpion.
And you can find me on all social media at Lexi Hammersfar.
And you can find me on all social media at Club Thaddeus. Until next time, AfterBuzzers, peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.